Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. It's his 22nd of his career. And with a lightning strike, the Phillies tie it up at one.
Boy, John, we needed that, man. Holy mackerel.
Thank you, Kyle Schwarber. Thank you for both of your Schwarbombs last night. We needed the lift. We needed the points. We needed the belief that this provides. It really does. It gives you a little extra oomph, gives you a little cushion, and everyone loves the stress relief.
Big time,
you get a
dude.
Schwarbomb, and it's like, okay, back to normal. We can do this.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, dude. I'm with you 1,000,000%. So great stuff by the Phils last night to turn to Christopher Sanchez. We'll talk more about game four as we move through this hour, getting closer to first pitch, which is 6:08 tonight. By the way, shout out to everyone listening who has been at any time in your life a part of the U.S. Navy. Because not only is today a big day in Philadelphia sports, but as part of the country's 250th anniversary of the Navy, which was founded before the country was founded, they're coming to Philadelphia today. Over the next week, they're going to have all sorts of celebrations in town related to the U.S. Navy's 250th anniversary. It begins today. And so to everyone who's been part of defending our nation, of course, for all military
My
branches.
Dad was Navy.
Your dad was?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I thought that I was going to be
really?
Navy also. Yeah, I
a
went
midshipman?
To Navy.
Was
I
it
went
you were
to
too-
Navy football camp.
You too good at football?
1987.
Definitely way too good to play Navy. Way too good.
I got good. And then I stopped thinking about Navy.
You're like, I'm going to the NFL. Navy anymore.
But I did. When I was in 7th grade at Navy football camp, my expectation was I would grow up, I would go to Navy, and I would serve my country, and I would play there. And then I got better.
Got very good at football.
It seemed,
And then Penn State and Joe Paterno and Bill Walsh and all these people were knocking down your door. And
all
you know,
that.
It happens.
Love it. So congrats to the U.S. Navy and thank you to everyone who's been part of that through the years. All right, 215-592-9494. Ben, clear advantage pitching-wise tonight, Sanchez versus Glasnow?
I wouldn't say clear. I mean, if Glasnow's on his game, it could be a long night for the Phillies offense, but I would say advantage. I wouldn't say clear advantage.
Yeah, fair enough.
Glasnow's very good. To Ben's point, I think the biggest hope is that you can get in his head because he is
fragile.
It's not just against the Phillies. Yeah. I've seen Glasnow melt down at times. Like he is not like super mentally strong comparatively to other pitchers, but his stuff is nasty. He's 6'7". He's like a giant out there on the mound.
He's opposite side of the coin from Ranger.
He's good. He's good.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Like ben, unflappable Ranger, he is flappable.
Sure.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He is 6'7". Ranger's a little more compact.
Yeah. The shadows are going to be an issue, though.
Yeah.
They mentioned it. Jeff Francoeur mentioned on the broadcast last night, and then we heard T-Mac talk about it in the postgame show with us. Shadows are going to be an issue.
Sure. Can I ask you a quick shadows question, Ben?
Sure.
Is it different? Like, how different is it in different stadiums? Like, we hear about the shadows in certain stadiums as opposed to others. Like, if you have shadows at Citizens Bank Park versus the shadows at Dodger Stadium, can it be, like, much harder at Dodger Stadium?
It depends. I don't remember the shadows being all that bad at Dodger Stadium. So, that's not one that kind of, rings a bell. There's some other places that are really bad. You know, they're just flat out really bad. And a lot of them are the older stadiums, the cookie cutter stadiums. But yeah, like it can be bad.
It's funny the way
anything with spin, you just don't see.
Yep.
You
it's
don't
funny
see.
The way dumb stuff messes with your line of sight, though, with your vision. And I don't know what it's like for baseball. I know what it's like, football wise. There were some stadiums where just the seat pattern would change how easy it was to pick up a ball.
Oh, sure. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but
the old Cowboys Stadium in Irving. I hated catching a football there. For whatever reason, it would blend, and the spin of the ball was hidden by the way the seats were configured right. And the color of the seats.
Yeah, it's different.
Strange stuff can mess with you.
My wife asked me the other day when the Eagles were at home, because the shadow was going long ways on the field, like from end zone to end zone, and it was literally half the field. So half the field was in sunlight, yeah, the other half was in shadow.
And I guarantee normally when that happens, teams always plan the sunlight comes in on the opponent sideline.
Unless you're Jerry Jones.
Always.
Did he mess that up?
No, remember he had the window.
Initially?
He didn't close the curtains, and they lost a touchdown last year to the Eagles.
I don't remember.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, and because he refused to close like their shades or whatever to block the sun from coming in.
Wow. It's a good memory by you. I don't have that one.
All right. I have weird stuff rattling around.
Something Ray Diddy said about this Eagles-Giants game tonight. We'll get to that coming up shortly, as Ray was with us earlier in the week. Obviously very heavy on the Phils, both Game 3, look back, and Game 4, look ahead. Let's talk to Warren in Gwinnett Valley. Warren, good morning.
What a beautiful morning in the Delaware Valley, I must say.
Yes, but Warren, this is going to be the first time I give you the butt. But the night can be really bad unless they handle their business. Like, the deeper we get into the show, the closer we get to first pitch, the more I start getting justifiably nervous again. And I encourage you and everyone listening, do not take tonight for granted because they won last night. It's just not how it works.
Is this how it works when the Hammer's playing, that we don't take a win for the Hammer for granted?
No, dude, I'm like Notre Dame back in the 40s. I win all the time, you know? But, you know, it's just
you gotta watch out for the
horrible reference for you. Why Notre Dame?
I don't know.
I guess because they do have the most championships in college football, but
it's been a while.
Wash my mouth out with soap. That was a horrible one. That was horrendous.
Alabama.
It's because Ben's in front of you. You couldn't help yourself. That's exactly
Big Irish.
I knew it. That's what it was.
Big Irish.
Subliminal.
It was subconscious. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Warren, what do you got on our Fighting Phils?
The Fighting Phils, I want everybody to send positive vibes across the country to that stadium tonight and block those shadows from our hitters. Our pitchers are going to pitch very well. I'm really excited for Walker Buehler to make an entrance.
Maybe.
And
hopefully not.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
No.
So far since he's joined the field. I'm really excited about Walker Buehler.
Warren, he certainly could get in there, because if Sanchez has early issues, I think he'll definitely get in there. And, you know, fifth, sixth inning, who knows. But, all right, so Warren, good call as always. Ben, let's go to this. I asked this question to the crew yesterday. Let's apply it to Game 4. It's now slightly different based on who pitched yesterday. Let's say it's a tie game, bottom of the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Sanchez gave you six and he's now out and it's tied. 0-0, 5-5, whatever. We don't know who would be batting for the Dodgers, righty or lefty, what sequence. You don't know. But just knowing that it's the seventh and you're not going into run yet, who would you want to be the first guy, boom, seventh inning?
Clean inning. The way Kirkering's
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the baseball, his last two outings, he's looked really good. I might go Kirkering or Banks.
So you think Kirkering has passed Robertson in Topper's mind?
And you think Banks has passed Strom too, then?
That's
a
double
saying.
Question.
Yeah.
Knowing that you might have, so here's part of the question.
Right.
Knowing you might and probably will use Duran for two. So like seven might be your only middle to bridge reliever guy tonight.
Right.
Yeah. So are you saying you trust Kirkering and Banks most of that crew?
I would say yes right now. Yeah, I would. And nothing against D-Rob or Strom. But these guys, I think Topper really likes Kirkering right now.
Didn't Kirkering mess up two games this series, one and two? Am I remembering that right?
I don't think two was his. I mean, Trey makes the throw. He's probably out of it.
He's out of it.
But then he gives up hits and lead
Look,
the four
he wasn't
runs.
He wasn't great, but I thought Kirkring pitched well. And no, in game one, he was awesome. He was the only guy that had a clean inning.
He was good in one. My fault.
He was good in one.
He was good
and
in
he
one.
He was lights out last night. Quick one last night. So
I'm not there. I'd probably trust Robertson over him still, but I think he's pitched well, even if the results in game two weren't great.
And Ben, is Walker Buehler not that guy, that 7-8 inning guy? Is he only my 4-5 inning guy?
I think he'd be the long guy tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's in there for three outs to match up.
I agree. Particularly because it could be extra innings with the way playoff baseball is formatted let's get to Violet right now. Good morning, Violet.
Oh my God. Hi guys. I was just saying, I was waiting for you guys to pick up. I'm so excited. Oh my God. I don't even know where to begin. I love this team so much. And I have to give a shout out to my boy, Boehm. What a freaking grab.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Y'all just win tonight. I don't care how, what it takes, win tonight and bring it back to the bank. I know we can do this. I'm so, so excited. And thank you so much for what y'all do, because I have nobody to talk baseball with down here.
In Virginia. You're in Virginia, Violet.
Yes, I'm in Virginia, but I love my freaking Phillies. I'm from Philadelphia. My husband's from Jersey, and we just love the Eagles, the Flyers, the Phillies, and oh my God, go Phillies.
Love it. Violet, we need you calling the show more often.
Violet calls to talk to me every morning on her way to the gym.
Yes,
I talk to Violet
to
every – she's the best.
So, Violet, you've won this award, and this is a hard one to win. Who's got more energy and enthusiasm for the Phillies than James Seltzer? That would be Violet in Virginia.
Oh, no, I love Seltzer. I love James. He's so freaking fantastic. And I absolutely love Bader, man. Oh, my God. What a freaking fantastic addition to this team.
Yep.
You think he can actually get out there and play a little more tonight, Violet?
I don't want to chance it. I don't want to chance it.
Yeah,
I
do.
I mean,
it was good. They said he could run the bases if he had to, which is a real – that's a step.
It's a step.
If he can, I mean, it's up to him. If he can, then I'm all on board.
For
you
sure.
Know? I mean, put it in his hands. So whatever he says, I trust him. I just don't want him to injure himself, because if we bring this back to the bank, I know we can win.
Well,
I know we can.
Violet, you bring up a great point, an excellent call. Please call us more often when you can. So she brings up a really good point about the Bader thing. Obviously, you have to win tonight. Otherwise, it's over. But we also know this. This isn't the only series you have to win the World Series.
Totally.
And so there is something to be said for, with the objective being to win three series and play for another 3 weeks, to not play Bader tonight if he's like 85 or 90%, maybe get him in there for game five so that he can then play the next 3 weeks. Because this is an injury that's a pretty easy one to re-injure, aggravate, and set back.
By the way, especially because it's getting freaking colder out.
Well, it certainly is here.
That's my point. You're coming over.
It's getting cold tonight.
I'm talking about for coming home. You're talking about October.
Yeah.
As we move on in October, it's getting colder and colder. It's going to be colder on Saturday. I'm saying like that injury could get more re-injured. The colder it gets, the more you have that changes.
Could be stiff
in
that region.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Hey,
what?
Are you just going to keep going there until somebody reacted?
I went right past it at first, and I was like, oh, hey now.
You got to keep it lubed up.
All right, Sean. That might be.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
No, seriously. Some icy hot.
Icy
hot.
That's good.
Icy hot.
What in the world?
The other thing was getting near NC-17. All right. So
you can also use back plasters. You know those things that you put on your back to keep it warm?
Like a salon
moss skin
type thing?
Yeah. You put the back plaster right there on the groin. Put that on the hamstring. It's extra sticky, so it rips all the hair off when you remove it.
Sure.
But it really works, and it keeps it nice and warm. I bet he's going to do a back plaster on the groin.
All right, so let's listen to the ditty. Obviously, heaviest today on the Phillies for all the obvious reasons. But Eagles play a game tonight versus the Giants, and Ray gave us a little preview from his perspective earlier this week. I mean, something we acknowledged earlier today is we want to see the Eagles not only win, but win convincingly. I mean, they have not outgained their opponent in any of the five games, which is borderline impossible with a 4-1 record. So you want to see them win and win handily. Let's listen to Ray, what he said earlier this week.
The one thing, you know, I normally, I've talked to you about this forever. I hate Thursday night football.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of my least favorite things in the world. but I'm glad they're playing Thursday night this week.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're playing Thursday night, and I'm glad they're playing against this team. But the Giants stink, okay? And this is a game that the Eagles have to go out, and they just have to crush this team.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't screw around with this team. It can't be close enough. You got to crush this team because they're there to be crushed. Okay, and forget about being on the road. That's going to sound like the link. I mean, it's going to because it always does up there. And this is a game. I know you don't have a whole lot of time to get healed and game plan, but it shouldn't matter against this team. You can't be fooling around with these guys. You got to go out and you got to crush this team right from the jump, and then maybe you get your season back on track. But this is a big game, surprisingly enough. But it's the perfect opponent at the perfect time. Go out and do what you have to do.
I like it from Ray. I'll say this. At a certain point, for me, and I'm guessing this applies to many, the concern with the Eagles will ratchet up more if they continue, and I know this is going to sound weird, if they continue to win unimpressively. I mean, it's hard to win a Super Bowl if you can't beat a team like the Giants, you know, pretty handily. Now, let me back this up a different way. In 2017, the Eagles barely beat the Giants week three. I mean, it took a 62-yard field goal, 61?
61.
61.
Yeah. So,
64.
So, you know.
It was 61.
Yeah, it wasn't 64. But, you know, bottom line is, like, you're going to have your eke it out games. And the Eagles certainly had a couple of them last year against not great teams, notably Cleveland and Jacksonville. But you just don't. At some point, you got to put it on a team. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's hard to win 13, 14 games and three or four playoff games if you don't put it on some weak teams. And this is Saria Dude tonight.
We're in a stage where we should be able to do this.
Saria,
we should be able to stack it on some teams because there's some weaker teams coming up.
And get Saquon out of there early in the fourth quarter because you got a 3-touchdown lead and get him ready for next week. Rhea, do you think tonight they impress us?
I don't know about impress. What I'm looking for is to put a beginning half, the first half, and maybe the third quarter. I'll give you off the fourth, but I'm looking for like three consecutive quarters.
Yeah.
My concern is, you know, they do have a good defensive line. I don't think they have a very good secondary. And maybe that conversation that Jalen and AJ and Saquon had, I'm hoping it helped because I think getting those two in a room together, you know, with Saquon was probably like highly underrated. And we have the Phillies going on. So it was going to, I mean, if the Phillies weren't going on this week, we would have probably talked about that meeting ad nauseum. But I think it was a good thing.
Do you think Saquon Rhea can get Nick Castellanos and Phillies fans in the same room?
No, but he can drive them to the airport.
That's right. All right, James, I know you got a fact in there about the Eagles' offensive inefficiency this year. What is it?
Yeah, Jason Kelce alluded to this before, and it is stunning. Brace yourself. If you're driving, you might want to pull over when you hear this stat. Zach Berman had this stat. So the Phillies have gone 3-and-out on a league-high 47.2% of their offensive drives. Number two in the league is Tennessee. Number three in the league is Cincinnati. So we know the type of offenses that they are with.
Yeah.
Here's the astounding part. It's only been five games, but no team has had a worse 3-and-out percentage since 2005.
Wow.
The 2005 49ers went 4-12. Now, again, they have a lot of games to correct this.
Sure.
But through five, if it holds, it won't be the worst since 2005.
That is, that's horrible.
Stunning.
Now, who do you, like?
I blame a lot of them, Rhea. So, if you remember last year, I know that's where you're headed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, last year, you guys know, I was very much thinking that it was primarily Jalen's fault when things didn't hum. I think this year it's very spread out. I actually think it starts this year with the offensive line.
100%.
I think that's number one.
Totally agree.
Right? I think Jalen has had a hand. It is certainly possible to probable. The receivers have had a hand at times, and I don't think Saquon's as good. I know it's hard to tell. I'm not sure. I'm not saying I know.
What about Petula?
Coaching.
And Petula. My fault.
Yeah.
And it's not just that, like, I think, you know, oh my God, he's a terrible play caller. He's a new play caller.
Well, I also
and
think
that factors.
I also think it's play design at times.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've seen times where there's two receivers in the same spot.
In the same spot.
Multiple times in the same game.
It should never happen.
No. No, theoretically, that could be receivers running the wrong route.
Sure.
So sometimes you got to acknowledge the coach might not have drawn it up that way.
I don't think
he did.
But
I think this year it's been very, very spread out with the ills of the offense. So bottom line is hopefully they put it on the Giants tonight because they're not going to win a Super Bowl playing like this the whole year. And while they were funky last year for good stretches, they weren't this funky. I mean, this has been ridiculous.
The windup in the 1-0 pitch. And it swung on, hit in the air, left field, deep, going back to the new center fielder, Dean. He's looking up, and it is gone, and JT has hit one out to left center. And the Phillies with a 4-1 lead here in the top of the eighth inning as Real Muto hammers the pitch from Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, baby. Game three was a thrill. And tonight, game four. With the Phillies' best current healthy starting pitcher. That would be Christopher Sanchez. Obviously, I use the word healthy, meaning no Zach Wheeler. But you get Sanchez, and you know you got DeRon in your back pocket for two innings if need be. And my gut feeling is it's going to get there. One way or the other. Meaning, you know, if you're up or tied, I think you're using him for two. If you're down, I think you're using him. Well, maybe it only becomes one because you get there in the eighth, hoping you score over the, you know, the ninth to get him back in there in the ninth inning. So,
well, and also the fact that he'll be on the road, so you come back. Like, you know, if you tie the game, you can keep using him.
That's my point. You use him in eight, hoping that he needs to pitch nine if you come back. So, yeah, my point is, I guess what I'm saying is, I expect him to pitch in the eighth inning tonight.
I do too. I agree with you. Almost, yeah. Like no matter what the scenario is.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, if they're up 10-0 or something, you never know.
Right,
but
right. If you're up 10-0, then try not to use them. All right, let's close out our three different Twitter poll questions of the day, all of which are brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Now in stock at Armin Chevrolet, the stylish and safety pack 2026 Equinox. It has arrived. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, the first poll question. If Bader can't start tonight, who should start in the outfield next to Marsh and Kepler? So, most of us today have said we would go with Castellanos. I would go with Casty. John, you say you would go with Weston Wilson?
Yes.
Ben, you say Casty?
Yes, Castellanos.
James, you say Casty?
I said Casty.
And Rhea, you say?
Wilson.
All right, so two Wilsons, three Castys. John, how do you think people voted between Casty, Kemp, Sosa, and Wilson? And by the way, Schwarber doesn't enter this because there's no one to be a classic DH if you were to flip Schwarber to the outfield. There's no purpose there. That's only like if Bryce is injured, can't play the field, but can bat.
Or if you want Bader DH, theoretically, you could do it.
Yes.
Like you talked about
yesterday.
No, that's
true. Like if Bader could run as... But it's hard for me to imagine...
I want Bader.
Well, just based on them saying he could run the bases. I wouldn't put Kyle Schwarber out in the outfield tonight in that outfield.
No.
But just that is a scenario.
All right, John, who do you think won this poll?
All odds, Bader could do more than what we think. Maybe, I hope.
Do you believe in Bader, John? I can't really tell.
Who do you think wins this poll, John?
I think Casty
he
wins
does.
The poll.
And 51.
I think there are a lot of people. Oh, 51. Wow.
51 Casty, 26 Sosa.
How about that?
12 for Weston Wilson, 11 for Kemp. Here's the one guy I feel confident it won't be. Otto Kemp.
Well, I don't think Sosa's playing in the outfield either.
No.
They did one time. It was like
emergency.
An adventure. He did it for one game. Like, there's no way they're going to put him out there.
Fair enough. All right, second poll question. Who's going to win the game tonight? 74% say the Phillies. So belief has risen, obviously.
Wow.
Third poll question.
Was it 57% Dodgers yesterday, I believe?
Something like that. Third poll question. I got two different Flyers pieces of audio here. I got... As we get ready for the start of the orange and black, 2 years away from being 2 years away. All right, here's what I'll say about the Flyers. 1 year away from being playoff ready. That's where I am. And 3 years away from being true contention ready. The poll question, are they going to make the playoffs? John, how do people vote on this one?
There's so much wishful thinking that 64% will say yes.
It's more like they just know they probably won't. 32% say they will.
So we're not going to be hearing this as much this year?
Right. We got all our Flyers music.
You know, the first time you played that horn this morning, I was driving in. And I, yeah, that one. And I had my volume up. pretty loud, and I thought I was next to a big truck. It scared the crap out of me. Like, legitimately scared the crap out of me.
But it's Aunt Joe's day. Joe and I sitting there being like, do the horn, big dog, do the horn.
Oh, my gosh. It was. It really scared me.
That's great, man.
Yeah.
It sounds like a tugboat almost,
yeah,
too.
Oh, so it's loud. Yeah. Listen, when they score, and they don't score that often, but when they score, they crank it up with the horn.
It's just a goal!
All right, so what was that, James? What was that?
That wasn't bad.
That was horrendous.
It wasn't that bad.
That was
he shoots his goal!
That was enthusiasm.
That was okay. It was like a horrible JJ impression. I mean, it was okay.
I'll just be honest with you, James. I didn't know what you were doing.
No, I did. But I feared for the dogs and the cats in the Delaware Valley.
That wasn't bad. That's all right.
So all jokes aside, good luck to the Flyers. They start their season tonight. We're going to give away some Flyers tickets to a game next week, during next week. So we look forward to that. Hopefully they can put a charge into it this year. Let's get to Bill in Richmond. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Let's go.
Yeah.
I hear that horn. I hear everything. The Phillies last night. Oh, man. You got Eagles today. Let's go.
Yep.
I took tomorrow off because I already knew that I'm going to be up all night tonight, either lamenting a loss, which won't happen because we're going to bring it back to Philadelphia for game 5. Let's go. Oh, man. I'm so pumped.
Let's all take off tomorrow. That's a brilliant idea. We got too much going on tonight.
I need to hear you guys tomorrow morning. I need to hear you guys tomorrow
morning. You'll hear us, Bill. So, Bill, my basic strategy is I'm going to have no phone action, well, at least once 8:15 starts. So I'm going to be all locked into the Phils, tape delay in the Eagles, and then when the Phils is done, maybe a little bit of postgame, and then I'm going to start the Eagles from the kickoff, not knowing anything about the Eagles. I'll be fast-forwarding. Not looking at my phone, not driving down to Borgata till tomorrow morning. Normally I go on the Thursday night, but this way I can hunker down at home, go tomorrow morning. We'll cover it all tomorrow, my man.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I can't wait to see all of y'all in 3 weeks when we have a parade down Broad Street. Let's go. Come on, Phils. We'd bring it home tonight. I think we got it. Hell of a good chance.
All right, so, Bill, just because they could hit a home run tonight, can you give me that home one more time?
That was a good one.
What, him?
Yeah, we say home. You going to eat a hoagie at home tonight?
Hey, Bill, enjoy.
I'm not even from so I'm the only one of my family that's not from Philadelphia. I'm basically born and raised in Richmond, Virginia. And my dad's from Allentown, my mom's from South Philly, and my brother's from Hatboro.
You got the home.
Somebody got the home.
Awesome. All right, Bill, wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what cracks me up about
Central
his
PA.
Yeah. What cracks me up about his call in addition to the home.
Ham.
The vacillation, guys. I mean, yesterday, it's like, get rid of all of them.
Yes. It was a funeral yesterday.
It was. And it's like, you stink! And then this guy's, you know, I'll see you at the parade in 3 weeks. Well, Joe,
that's why it's the best reality show that's out there.
Yeah.
It's the most, and a lot of reality shows are scripted. It's just unscripted.
You
have no idea.
I remember we did that topic a few months ago about what is both good and bad.
Yeah.
And if I remember right at the end, it came down to chemo, which obviously can, you know, help someone move through cancer, yeah, but also really rattles the body during the cancer process, or sports. What's good and bad? Like, sports can lift you up and sports can bring you down. And
damn,
I mean,
straight.
It's a roller coaster of emotions, obviously, quite frequently in sports. This week was wild. I mean, to have all the losses Saturday, Sunday, whatever the hell it was, Monday, Tuesday, I guess it was.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, Saturday,
3 days
Sunday
in a row.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then to get a win last night was great. Matt in Bucks County. Matt, good morning.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I only want to talk about two things. Okay. Was it the first or second home run where Schwarber turned around and he flipped the switch on?
First.
Did anybody else see that?
It was the first. He looked right at the bench after hitting the home run.
And he flipped that switch on.
Yeah.
That was like a turning moment for me. It was like, I saw that, and I saw that look in his eyes. When he flipped that switch, I was like, he's back. This is like that team that got swept in Citibank, and like, that was it. They got swept at home. They're embarrassed. They were mad. And they showed it. I don't think this team is the same postseason team as last year where they just quit. I think there's still some fire left. And if you look at that, how many strikeouts did our top three have last night?
I don't know, but not many.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of any, yeah.
One. I think it was 4-1 the whole game for the team.
Out. It was Schwarber. Yeah. It, not a big deal, but they all hit the ball. I don't care that Harper was hitting line drives. I mean, he got his bat on the ball. Mm-hmm. They were hitting the ball. They were putting the ball in play. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want the ball to get down. I want the ball to hit the guy.
All right, Matt, this is where I got to give you. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just going to say it. Just don't take game 4 for granted because of how great they looked in game 3. Because I'm almost sensing overconfidence now. And it's like everybody, I'm waving the caution flag. Just
they're on the roller coaster, Joe. Let them be.
I hear it.
We
I'm
got
just,
our ace on the hill tonight,
Joe. You know.
After game 2, I was ready to call in and say, cancel my playoff tickets.
We all were. We had people, Ken from Cinnamon's and Galton said, I'm not renewing my season tickets.
I'm not going through it all over again next year. You're not. But I just felt, no, I'm not, you're right. The coast isn't clear, 100%. I'm not going into tonight's game expecting anything except for hoping that they're going to play like they did last night.
I like that.
That's all I want.
Listen,
all I want.
Matt, let me tell you something. This whole,
I think they have the capability.
No, well, I know of they course. Do. Matt, good call. This whole series, even when they weren't playing the sharpest baseball, they always play hard, and they have great hunger to win. And you know, let's be candid about games 1 and 2. It's not like they didn't show up against the Dodgers or didn't go toe-to-toe. Those were two toe-to-toe games. The Phillies happened to lose both of them. Last night wasn't exactly toe-to-toe. Phillies basically blew them out. Obviously, either team can win this series. The Phillies can do this. There's no question. All right, let's do what, and this should be a good one. Let's do what we do every single day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. Thank you, Andy. It's brought to us by Xfinity, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Sports Lounge, your home field advantage from Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity. Imagine that.
Arenola. Now, L.A. Nola.
That's right.
I know he's the guy to take us to the dance. Feeling pretty damn sure that the Phil's advance because of Nola. And now, L.A. Nola. Nola.
I forgot about that.
Love that caller very bringing nice. That back. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's the great Joe Conklin with the Nola song from a couple years ago, and I hope we get to play that multiple times over the next few weeks.
Topper, you had me in question. And all of a sudden, you bring in Suave Suarez to get the job done. We hit. We win. Whatever the hell it takes, Topper.
That's good, man. That's great. Mate. That's good.
Awesome. It's amazing what happens when the Phillies don't chase pitches. They hit. They hit home runs. Now, one more time, then bring the boys back home. Go, Phillies!
Go, Phillies, indeed!
We're not dead yet. Sankey on the mound tonight. Game 4. Let's do this and force a game 5 at home. Let's go!
All right, I like everything about your call except for one thing, and it's the word yet. Let me tell you something. A team that wins the title, never dead. 2024 Eagles, never dead. So the proper way to put it is we're not dead.
I think he was quoting Doug Peterson.
I don't care.
We're not done.
Fine.
Yeah. Well, remember?
I do, but he said dead, and they don't have to be dead. They can live in the legacy of glory, the pantheon of teams. They can still win it all, but obviously they got to win 2 more versus the Dodgers to get to that point. With that, even to have a shot to get to that point. With that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
They did say dead and not done, right?
Did he?
Yeah, okay. I thought so. All right, so let me give you a couple programming notes. Obviously, Joe and Hugh to follow. Spike, Ike, and Jack after that. We'll have Eagles pregame coverage tonight here on WIP. We will have the Eagles game tonight on WIP, as the Eagles game is at 8:15. So 8:15 for WIP Eagles coverage of the game itself. The Phillies game flips to two different Odyssey-owned stations that we have right here, right down the hallway from us at WIP, which is KYW. You can hear on the FM side at 103.9 FM for KYW, 103.9 FM. And also the classic spot for Phillies baseball for decade upon decade when Ben and I and others were young. Ben, 1210 AM.
1210, baby. You better believe it.
How many years? Harry and Whitey and Wheels and Andy Musser. And
you know how many nights I went to sleep with that on the clock radio
ben,
next
same,
to my bed?
Same,
totally.
Same. It was a boombox for me. But
totally.
It was
everything.
Alarm clock.
Ben, you
got to
go to bed. Okay. I'll get up there and close my eyes right away.
All right, so 103.9 FM, 1210 AM for the game tonight. Also, good luck to the Flyers as they embark on a new season. Beginning tonight, we hope they can make the playoffs.
Come on, Jonesy.
Yeah,
get it done.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
No kidding.
All right, so same thing we've done the last 2 days. It's become a little playoff tradition here. 10 to 15 seconds each person on the way out the door on both the Phils and the Eagles. Let's keep it tight because we're low on time. Rhea, what do you got?
Make it count. Make last night's win matter.
Yep.
Make what you did that I've seen teams that have been dead go on a run, bring the series home.
Seltzer?
Just do a job. Do what you did last night. Just win one game. Your ace is on the hill. Go freaking win.
All right, I'm going next. No, win two games, and they will.
Phillies, one at a time, buddy.
Phillies win tonight. Eagles win tonight. Flyers lose tonight. 2 out of 3. Meatloaf said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Ben?
Phillies, don't try and be better than you were last night. Last night was perfect, and Birds win by 17. And... go Flyers. Go orange and black.
John?
Yeah. The guys figured it out, the approach last night. Just keep doing what you did. See lots of pitches. And the run game returns. The run game returns tonight. 150 yards on the ground plus. And we're going to feel good about handing it off to Saquon.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of the run game, I appreciate Rob Thompson unleashing the double steal last night, which was a good setup by him. Poorly executed by the hitters that followed. But good to see that aggression last night. On the base pass. Everyone, have a spectacular rest of the day. I know that your day is basically going to go as the games tonight go, but let me say this on the way out the door. Go Flyers! Go Eagles! Go Phils!
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.